Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. You know, when we only have like one show a week, we have busy shows anyways. We've got a two-hour show is not that long of a show. So we tend to be pretty busy as is. And then throw in the fact that the Cardinals played night games every day this week where this is our only sports open line. We got a lot to get to, and we're going to get to it between now and 8 o'clock. Here is what's coming up on the program. In about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Bernie Miklas for our weekly conversation with him. Always fun to be able to talk with Bernie, and we have not spoken with Bernie since the trade deadline, so we'll get the opportunity to kind of think where, figure out where what he's thinking in terms of where the Cardinals are at moving forward, both from a organizational standpoint with what they brought in and also what to expect from the Major League Club here moving forward. And does that even matter? Does that even matter? That's been one of the things that we've been talking about on the postgame show a lot. What matters and what does not matter at the Major League level at this point? So we will discuss that with Bernie a little bit coming up in just a few minutes. 7 o'clock hour is going to be a lot of fun. I spent this afternoon over at Dick's Sporting Goods at West County Mall, and I was there with Matt Adams. And first and foremost, thanks to all the folks who came out. We did something where Matt and I sat down and recorded a conversation for 25, 30 minutes. That's what you're going to hear during the 7 o'clock hour. And then after that, Matt did about a half hour of photos and autographs. He actually did longer than that because he's a really good guy and he stuck around longer than he was originally, I guess, billed to. But yeah, you're going to hear the conversation I had with Matt. I'll tell you this now. I joked with him about this at the end of our conversation. You know what question I did not ask him? I did not ask him about the home run against the Dodgers. Matt Rocchio is in here. He just went, if you didn't hear that. Here's why. Has Matt Adams ever done an interview where he was not asked about the home run that he hit? And it's a great moment, and I've asked him about it. This is not my first time being with him. In fact, I was on a Cardinal Caravan with him this year, and we did four different stops, and guess what? He was asked about that home run at every single stop. It is the question that he, and I'm sure he loves talking about it. But I challenged myself going in. I said, you know what? I have sat down and I've talked with Matt a lot. We've had many conversations. We've had many interviews. I don't want to just redo the exact same interview that I've done with Matt before. So that was my internal challenge. Believe it or not, I do actually think through things sometimes when I'm doing this. And that was my internal challenge. So if you're sitting at the edge of your seat looking forward to Matt Adams talking about his home run against the Dodgers, I've got bad news for you. That's not going to be brought up. But we do have a lot of other interesting things to get to, and you'll hear that during the 7 o'clock hour. We'll also have our community spotlight today during the 7 o'clock hour as well. So we've got a jam-packed program. Thought it was a good series for the Cardinals. Anytime you go to New York and take 2 of 3 from the Yankees, that's pretty special. That is pretty special. And I want as many people to hear this one as possible because I mentioned it on the postgame show last night. I do, for those of you who listen to Total Information AM, I always leave reports for Tom to use in the morning about the game the previous night. I included it in there. But if you did not catch this, I love this nugget that we received from Cardinals Public Relations after the game last night. The Cardinals win that game yesterday by a 3-1 score. It was the first time that the Cardinals had won a game in the Bronx against the Yankees, regular season or postseason, when scoring less than 6 runs since October 12th, 1964. That was Game 5 of the World Series. You might remember it. Tim McCarver hit a 10th inning home run. Bob Gibson threw a complete game, 10 inning effort, struck out 13 over his 10 innings. Before yesterday, that was the last time the Cardinals had won a game against the Yankees in the Bronx, scoring less than six runs. I love that. I thought that was the coolest nugget that came out of that game yesterday. But really, a nice job by the Cardinals. They're still not scoring runs. They scored runs in the first series in that wild one. They scored three runs yesterday. All three of them came in one inning, where you got J.J. Weatherholt hitting a two-run double, and then Von Herrera had a run-scoring double just a moment or so later. They're not scoring runs, but you know what they're doing? Starters are pitching the living you-know-what out of the ball right now. Starters are doing a fantastic job. This last time through the rotation is about as good of a full turn through the rotation as we have seen from the Cardinals. And personally, I think some version of this can continue. I have belief in Michael McGreevy. I have belief in Andre Pallante. I have belief in Kyle Leahy. I think I have belief in Hunter Dobbins. And that's a little bit of a to be determined. We'll see what it looks like. He's a young guy. He's going to have some moments that don't look great, but I think he's going to fit right in as well. And the big question mark continues to be Matthew Liberatore. But if Liberatore does what he did this last time through, those are five guys who are going to give you a chance to win every single time out. The question then is, what do you get out of the bullpen behind them? And what do you get from the guys who are trying to score runs? And those are the variables right now. And yesterday, three runs was enough. Sometimes three runs is not going to be enough. But taking two out of three from the Yankees when this team had just sold off at the deadline and had every reason to not pack it in, but maybe not go win two out of three against the Yankees in New York. And I know the Yankees are a struggling unit from an offensive standpoint, not trying to gloss over that. They're having a hard time scoring runs, but I just thought it was a good series for the Cardinals for sure. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in just a moment. You are locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Great to be with you again. 7 o'clock hour. I've got a long conversation with former Cardinal Matt Adams that we recorded earlier today. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Right now, really happy to welcome onto the program for our weekly conversation contributor here at KMOX, future Substack writer. His videos are still out there. We're figuring that all out. It's a tumultuous period in the world of Bernie Miklas right now, but his content's out there. Oh, hey, Bernie.
I'm at peace, man. Everything's okay. Beautiful. Seriously, everything's good. You know, if you're in the media business, I don't have to tell you this, but you know, although you've had a lot of stability, which is good, but man, you got to roll with it. I've been rolling with it since I was a young boy journalist in Baltimore. You know, things happen all the time. It's crazy business. It's no big deal. I'm blessed. Still doing what I love.
You and I were texting the other day, all of our wives, and there's a reason that there's a lot of people in this industry that have a hard time staying married. For those of us who have remained married for an extended amount of time, our wives deserve some sort of medal for putting up with everything that goes along with this industry.
Yeah, I don't even know how to express the gratitude in a way that is just matches the value and the patience and the love and the tolerance of my work schedule and all the things that I have to do. You know, there's just no way to properly express a gratitude. But yeah, we're both very fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't really talked since the trade deadline. And since then, the Cardinals took two out of three against the Yankees, kind of found a way to win a couple games in very, very different kind of ways. There's more talent now in the organization. We don't really know what it's going to look like at the big league level. We can argue all we want about how much it matters and how much it doesn't matter. But it's just, it feels like we have started almost another chapter or subchapter of the 2026 St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, because except for the starting rotation, you know, the lineup to an extent has been weakened by a number of factors. Well, it has been weakened by a number of factors. It's been stripped down a bit. We've got like Walker not in the lineup, some other people, you know, out of the lineup here and there. You know, they're already pretty weak in terms of, you know, where they've been for the last month and a half, if not longer. And we know that the bullpen's volatile and is vulnerable. And, you know, they're probably a good reliever short there from having a more dependable bullpen. So, you know, you got to Ollie Marmol, Dusty Blake, and all the coaches, they just got to do the best they can with what they have to work with. And they also got to they have to count on players who have the talent to be better to actually perform up to their talent level. And I'm talking about Ivan Herrera, for mm-hmm. one. I'm talking about Matthew Liberatore. I'm talking about lately, Jordan Walker. You know, I'm in no way suggesting like, oh my gosh, like he's relapsed and he's back to where he was. No. But the fact is, when he gets back in the lineup, he's got to start hitting. He's got to start hitting for power again. He's got to start punishing strikes. He's had a hard time with pitches in the strike zone. And that's kind of a new wrinkle. So the Cardinals have some talent that can be helping them do better, but that talent's got to shine through a little more and maybe they'll score more runs. It's amazing, you know, how often they get held to three runs or less or four runs or less. I mean, it's just it just never seems to end.
It doesn't, and they have to be perfect in all other areas of the game. Yesterday, they're buoyed by the fact that Pallante pitches well through 5 1/3, and then four relief pitchers who have been four of their better relief pitchers this year all had good nights on the same night. That's what it took for them to win yesterday.
Absolutely. They have to thread the needle. I hate the cliche, but I can't think of anything better to say. Listen, every now and then they'll have a game like they did the other night, you know, where they win a banger type of game. You know, the Yankees, you know, took them 13 runs. I mean, they had those back-to-back games in Atlanta and Wrigley Field on that Thursday night and Friday afternoon where they scored, 28 runs in two games. Mm-hmm. They'll erupt every now and then. But otherwise, you look to where the offense started to slow down, and really you can trace it back to around, whatever you want to pick. I mean, either June 11th or June 17th. They lead the majors. I'm using the word lead. You don't want to lead in this category. But since June the 17th, or you go back to, let's have a bigger sample size. Let's go back their last 50 games. The Cardinals have had the most games of any team in the majors of scoring four runs or less, and they've had the most games of any team in the majors at scoring three runs or less. Now, to overcome that and win it, like it to win, you know, and stay above 500 and have a good record, to your point, what you just said, man, you better be perfect in every other area. And you know what? The starting pitching's really good. I don't think even locally they get enough credit for how good they've done. But you know, when your offense is malfunctioning, I mean, your bullpen, there are going to be a lot of tight games. So your bullpen cannot be as vulnerable and volatile as they've been because you can't give away leads because runs are extra precious.
You make note in your most recent column, which people can read on your Twitter account, how the Cardinals are really bad when it comes to power. And it's kind of funny because for the first month, 5-6 weeks, they were a pretty good team when it came to home runs. And then just snap of the finger, it was actually that first Milwaukee series in St. Louis where they just stopped hitting home runs and they have not started again since then. And I know there's people who don't want to hear it, but for the Cardinals to win games and score runs, they have to hit home runs. And it's just something that's not happening right now.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the last 50 games that we'll talk about because that's when it started to go sour. You know, the last 50 games, the Cardinals are last in the National League in home runs. They're last in the league in slugging. They're last in the National League in isolated power. They're last in the National League in park and league adjusted runs created. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And when the categories are not last, they're either 13th or 14th. So I always get this. It just never stops happening, and I know you get it a ton. You know, with your hosting duties, especially post game. People think like, well, they got to play small ball, or you know, I was talking with a gentleman today, which was totally cool. I was talking with the X, and he said, "Well, yeah, power's nice, but what they really need is clutch hitting." And here's what I say to that politely. Well, of course they need clutch hitting, but they also need power. You can do both. You need both. It's not one or the other. In other words, like, well, if they were better at hit runners in scoring position, they wouldn't have to worry about power. That's just simply not true. It's simply not true. C- Because power is a part of your performance with runners in scoring position, right?
Yeah.
It's not a separated thing. It's part of why they struggle with runners in scoring position, because there's not a power element. So I don't get it. I don't get the pushback by people that think that, well, you can still win. You can still score runs without hitting home runs. This group, have you been watching them for the last 50 games? No, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't score runs with this group.
I mean,
unless you're hitting some home runs.
Earl Weaver was on to something with his beloved three-run home run. That is the
Absolutely.
Definition of a home run and clutch hitting coming together at the exact same moment.
You know, and, you know, Matt, I think you and I have talked about that. Kevin Wheeler and the three of us talked about it. You know, it's okay to hit doubles too, right?
Yeah.
That's how they won yesterday. That's right. That'd be the only thing I would compromise on when people say, well, you don't need to hit home runs to, you know. Well, home runs are the quickest way to put runs on the board, and it's the most impactful way to kind of jar the other team. One thing that drives me nuts about the Cardinals, and this has been going on for a couple of years, maybe longer than that, they don't hit enough doubles. There's nothing. Doubles are great. You know?
Yeah.
You get to run around the bases. You put pressure on the defense. You know, you force throws. Outfielder or sailor throw, you know, guy instead of a double, all of a sudden he's on third, or a guy that would have stopped at third, all of a sudden he scores. You know, give me a lot of doubles. You know, but they don't seem real capable of doing that either.
Yeah, you know what? This is it's interesting, because stick with me for a second, Bernie. I'm going to take a long road to get to where I'm going here. Because I worked in Colorado for a while as part of the Rockies organization, doing their AAA games for a while. And one of my really strong beliefs about the way you actually fix Coors Field is you bring the fences in and let guys hit a few more home runs. But the number of home runs that you're going to hit would easily be neutralized out by the less doubles that were hit. Because you go to Colorado, it's just double after double after double after double. And that's where things start to go wrong. So one of the weird things about Busch Stadium is it's suppressing offense, it's suppressing home runs, but a lot of times ballparks that suppress home runs promote doubles, and I don't think that Busch Stadium is promoting doubles, and I don't know why.
Well, I got the explanation, and I won't get all wonky. I'll just give you the right to the bottom line. It used to be the right center gap was a good spot for left-handed hitters, right? That, you know, like that was the ball would travel better right down the line, but the ball the right center gap, the left field gap, would be a place where you could hit the ball in the air and it would travel at a reasonable way, you know, at least league average or whatever. Well, and it used to be that the left center gap, left center gap, that alley in left center, that was Death Valley, you know, and it still is. Where for right-handed hitters, unless they pull it down the line, the left center gap at Busch Stadium for a long time has been Death Valley for right-handed hitters. The ball just doesn't carry in the air. But what has happened, it's the double whammy. Now in the right center gap is playing the same way as the left center gap. Now the ball doesn't travel in the air the way it used to that gap. So now both of your power alleys are a huge problem for the hitters. And now your pitchers benefit from that. You know, that's good for your Cardinals pitchers, but it's very, very, very frustrating for guys like Alec Burleson. Mm-hmm. And we can name a bunch of them. You know, unless you're going to go right down the line, you're probably going to get screwed by your home ballpark as a hitter.
Yeah, and people are saying, "Ah, bring in the fences, do this." Like,
no,
I need to see this play out for a much longer amount of time before I want to see them make any changes. But we can also acknowledge that in the right here and now. And another part of it, Bernie, is the way that basically every team plays no doubles defense just from the jump now. Everybody's playing so deep because it's so hard to string together hits now in Major League Baseball. Give up a single, and there's a good chance that guy's not going to come around and score a run. And this is where maybe putting in some sort of rules about how deep outfielders are allowed to play, maybe that's part of Major League Baseball's future. I don't know. But there's a lot of things that are going into this.
Yeah, and I don't want to bring the fences in because, first of all, if you do that, granted, it could help your hitters, right? But I will also say this, you know, I still think you got to get more power in your lineup. And then maybe we can talk about, well, not talk about bringing the fences in because I'm against that. But at least you would have more power to work with. And maybe you wouldn't have to worry about moving the fences in. But let me tell you, this is what the people don't, this is what too many people don't look at. They don't look at the other side. Busch Stadium protects the Cardinals starting pitchers.
Yeah.
They have the lowest home run rate in baseball allowed, and it's particularly stingy at home. Cardinals starting pitchers, you know, the way they pitch, they can keep the ball on the ground. The ballpark protects them. They do not allow home runs. They don't allow a lot of doubles. They don't allow much of a slugging percentage. So if you want to move the fences in, it might help your hitters. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to blow up your starting pitching that does not strike out a lot of people. And the ball's going to be in play. If you move the fences in, the ball's going to be in play and ball's going to be gone over the fence. So, no. Why would you want to weaken your starting pitching?
Especially when pitching's more valuable than hitting. You can go get hitting. You can't always go get pitching.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, and run prevention is a huge part of baseball, whether your ballpark's playing hitter friendly or pitcher friendly or what. I mean, I don't want to see Busch Stadium become like, you know, a par three municipal golf course, right? The way it is in Cincinnati with all those frauds. I don't want to see that. I do think I know the Bill DeWitt III. I got to talk to him about this. I know they're looking into the wind patterns and the effect that the construction beyond the outfield, you know, the high rises. I think that has something to do with it. I mean, this just didn't happen randomly because there used to be a time where Busch Stadium was pitcher friendly, yes, but the disparity wasn't that much.
But nobody's yelling in Milwaukee that ballpark plays one way when the panels and the roof are open and play a completely different way when it's closed. Like, that's just baseball. That's just, it's life. It happens. Like, I'm not overly worried about the other stuff.
No, that's right. So, listen, and I did a thing, people can get it on X, and, you know, I'm at B_Miklas, and you can go on X and read it. But what excites me, though, is they got seven guys at Springfield right now who all hit for power. I mean, and again, people don't have to tell me, you can't guarantee prospects. I know that. We all know that. We've known that for decades. But to see seven hitters in that same lineup, not only hitting for power, but they run, they steal bases, they get a lot of doubles, they get a lot of triples. That group potentially, members of that group potentially, what they have in AA Springfield could help transform this lineup. And that excites me because I don't recall a time where they had that much power concentrated than any minor league affiliate that they had.
No,
I have never seen that many power bats in one place. It's pretty damn amazing, actually.
It is stacked, and people should go down to Springfield and watch that team. It's a lot of fun. I actually push back, Bernie, on the people who say that you can't guarantee with prospects, because Baseball America did a study, and they took a look at all their guys who had been like top 10 prospects, top 50 prospects, top 100 prospects, and then looked at how often they hit as just a big leaguer, as an all-star caliber, as a Hall of Fame caliber. And you can, that is numerical. And yeah, it's not 100%, but you get to a point where a prospect is at a certain level and you can pretty much all but guarantee at least a minimum level of production in the big leagues.
And I trust Baseball America. And you know what I think has happened? And I don't blame anyone for this. The Cardinals, going back to the end of let's just say, I'm going to call it the Matt Holliday era, because he was like the last great hitter they had that wound down his career and then, you know, left to play somewhere else when he got old. You know, after all those great hitters had gone before him and retired or moved on. You know, so what happened is the Cardinals would always overhype guys. They would overhype Tyler O'Neill. They would overhype Stephen Piscotty. They would overhype Dylan Carlson. They would overhype, I mean, just, I could go through name after name after Randall Grichuk, name after name after name after name after name. And you know, except for 1 year, Tyler O'Neill came through. Except for 1 year, Dylan Carlson never came through. All of these guys, even guys that had some power, it wasn't consistent or it wasn't what it was cracked up to be. And I'm leaving some guys out. The point being that Cardinals fans have been hearing this stuff for like more than a decade. So I understand why they're cynical. I really do. But you got to understand there's different people in charge now at the baseball operation. And they do a much better job of A, identifying talent, and B, having a player development system, which they rebuilt entirely, that can actually make hitters better.
Yeah.
Look at Joshua Baez. This kid was in serious trouble of having his career at the Class A level, basically failing and washing out. And this group got him into the hitting lab. They took him out of they took him off the field. No more games for you. Spent about 10 days reworking everything. And Joshua Baez came out of it as a changed hitter. Does he still have some plate discipline issues? Yeah. But he is a dramatically better hitter than the kid that almost was a complete failure in Class A ball. So these people know how to make hitters better. Are they going to get it done 100% of the time? No. But compared to the previous regime or the player development system then, these prospects have a much better chance of reaching their potential with this group compared to the previous group.
Well, how about the other Baez? Because Jesus Baez, Mets fans are laughing at the Cardinals last year for the Helsley deal because Baez had just fallen out of Baseball America's top 100. It seemed like he was trending in the wrong direction. And then, yeah, not a shot at Helsley, but it did not work out well for him in New York. And Jesus Baez, he's part of that group that you just alluded to at AA Springfield. Holy moly, in a short amount of time, has this organization turned him around?
No doubt about it. And, you know, he just looks great. And I think, what's he got, 29 home runs? I think he does. 21, you know, at both levels he's played this year, 29 home runs. And he's got a big, huge slugging percentage. He doesn't strike out much. He doesn't walk much. So his on-base percentage is low. But this guy is a player. There's no question he's a player. He's also got a strong arm, which tells me that he is a left-side infielder and he plays shortstop most of the time. This could be your future third baseman.
He absolutely could. You're right. 100%.
I just look at this and, you know, and again, I did the numbers of what's down there in Springfield, but it's just pretty crazy. As a group, those seven hitters, I broke down all their numbers and kind of merged everything together. This group down there, the seven guys were, you know, Rodriguez, Ragsdale, who they just picked up, Pete, who they got in the Donovan trade, Baez, Cho, the kid from South Korea, Jurevich, and who else? I'm leaving
Richardson,
one out.
Trey Richardson.
Richardson, yep. Yeah. Those seven guys, you put all their stats together, they're hitting two this year in the minors. They've hit 287, have a 380 on base percentage. 548 slugging percentage, 287 batting average, 380 on base percentage, 548 slugging percentage, 928 OPS. They've hit 135 home runs, 117 doubles, 13 triples, driven in over 400 runs. That is a lineup at AA, which ain't that far from the majors, that is just loaded with offensive talent. Not saying all seven of these guys are going to be great. Not saying they're going to come up and kick butt. Not saying that at all. But it's you got to start somewhere. And when you see talent collected like this, two steps away from the majors, you should feel good about it until there's a reason not to feel good about it.
He is Bernie Miklas. You hear him all over KMOX. His columns temporarily are being written over on X, on Twitter, on his account. He's also continuing to do the videos. You can get the link to those via the social media channels as well. And all that's going to be changing a little bit, I think, here moving forward with a Substack. I'm not trying to talk for Bernie, but I follow along with what he says. So I know that he's got a plan for a Substack and some other things. Bernie, looking forward to all that. We'll talk about that more when that all becomes official. But appreciate your time.
Back at it here on
at KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Just a few minutes left here in hour number one. Hour number two, this is going to be a lot of fun. So earlier today, we did a Cardinal podcast, which we are also making into a radio hour, where I sat down and talked with former Cardinal Matt Adams. We did that over at Dick's Sporting Goods at West County Mall, and you're going to hear a lot of that. I had a lot of people show up for it, too, which was really, really, really cool. It's kind of, so this is, I'll set the scene for you, because you kind of feel bad, but at the same time, you've got a job to do. We recorded the interview from like 2:30 to 3, and then he was taking photos and everything and signing autographs from 3 to 3:30. So that means people showed up at 2:30. I hope they enjoyed the conversation that Matt and I had. I really, and I think they did. I think all things considered, they did. But I am also I am attached to reality to know that the dozens of people who are standing in line, if they would have had the opportunity to just get the photo and then walk away, they would have done that. I understand that. Not offended by it. I get it. So we get there. There are people waiting, and I'm like setting up stuff, and then Matt Adams comes down, and I think there's the anticipation. Okay, he's here. It's just about autograph time. And then I hop on the speaker, and I say, thanks to everybody for coming out. We're glad that you're here. Matt and I are going to record an interview here. It's going to take a half hour or so, and then we'll get to the photos and the autographs and all that sort of stuff. So they stood in line. They listened. We had a speaker. Everything was good. But it's just I have this thing. I'm a people pleaser. I am a people pleaser. And I was stuck in this in-between world because I wanted to make sure that the people who took time out of their day got what they wanted, and that was to an experience with Matt Adams, which they did eventually get. And I also knew that we were there and we were going to record, and there was a job to do. But I was moderately uncomfortable right at the beginning when it's like, okay, all these people are here to see Matt, and now they're going to be standing here for the next 30 minutes, and I'm not quite sure if they knew that that was the plan or not. So there you go. That is setting the scene for the Matt Adams conversation, which you're going to hear during the second hour of the program. We also have our community spotlights. That's all going to be coming up. Cardinals off day today, back at it tomorrow. They've got the Rockies this weekend. Great weekend of giveaways. Fantastic weekend of giveaways. The Jack Buck, Joe Buck bobblehead tomorrow. The polo shirt on Saturday. And the Pauly family going to the game as fans in a non-working capacity on Sunday so my daughters can get the Fred Bird Build-A-Bear. So, yeah, that's coming up this weekend. More coming up in a moment here on KMOX.